Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
The book of Job is difficult. It's difficult on so many different levels. Some believe it's the oldest book of the Bible, written first, so long before the ancients read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." They read, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Before they read of worlds created, they read of a man whose world was destroyed. This book of Job is difficult. Although all scripture is inspired of God, much of what is said in the book is faulty. For in the last chapter of Job, the 42nd chapter, God said of Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, that these three men spoke falsely, that they described God in a way that he was not. So threading through the book of Job are the speeches of these three supposed friends, and what they said of God, God said himself, it wasn't true. Reading then the book of Job, one has to be careful. It's all the word of God. The words spoken by Job and his friends are accurate, but some words even God himself says they're not right. So with that as a word of caution, let's go back to the very first chapter of Job, because something is said there that I believe we need to examine. God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, blameless, upright, fears God, shuns evil?" Satan responds, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, a hedge around his household, a hedge around all that he has?" And you know the rest of the story. This hedge of protection was lowered, and so unfolds the book of Job, where all Job has is seemingly taken from him except his life. And we see the struggle, the loss, one loss after another, the pain, the disappointment, the discouragement of a broken hedge of protection. It prompts three questions. We ask, is there a hedge of protection around us? No, it's not a literal hedge in the sense that we have a green belt around us, a tall wall of ivy and thorns and greenery. But we can say God does protect us. We read in the 34th Psalm, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." It's often misquoted to say the angels of the Lord encamp, not angels plural, but the angel of the Lord. That is, in the Old Testament, a theophany, a visible representation of God himself. This angel appeared to Hagar in the wilderness when she and her son were perishing from thirst and exposure. This angel appeared to Abraham on Mount Moriah, stopping him from sacrificing his own son. This same angel appeared to Jacob when he wrestled through the night. The angel appeared to Moses at the burning bush. God told Israel in Exodus 23, "I will send my angel in front of you to guard you. My name is in him." The angel appeared to Joshua, Gideon, Samson's parents. The angel of the Lord is identified with God in some of these passages. That angel represented the all-knowing, forgiving, life-giving power of God. You get the picture. It was not just any angel. It was God himself in some visible form. And the psalmist said, that angel, the angel of the Lord, he, God himself, is our defender, our protector. He watches over us. Even though it was Satan then who said there was a hedge of protection around Job, God didn't disagree with him. In fact, it's proven in the following verses that God did indeed protect Job, that God had him hedged in and protected. Many are the Bible passages showing this, that God is our protector. He watches over us. 2 Samuel 22, "The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. Or what about the 17th Psalm, where there is an affirmation, you save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Or Solomon said in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. In Nahum 1, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. But along comes Hebrews 13, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So there is obviously the sense that God is indeed our hedge, our shield, our protection. Use all the metaphors you like, our bulwark, our fortress, our strong tower, our help in the time of trouble. Not a physical hedge guarding us, but the very presence and the loving kindness of the Almighty God. I don't know why God allowed difficulties to come to Job or allows them in our own lives, even though we're praying and doing the best we can. But I know that even in those circumstances, he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. That's why we can say with the psalmist, we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. There is a hedge of protection around you, and it's God himself. The same God who put a thin layer around the earth called atmosphere to protect us. The same God who drew the shorelines and said, water, you can go no farther. He protects us. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and all of this week we're talking about building important relationships. One of the great confidences that we have in our relationship is that God is surrounding us. God will protect us. God will watch over us with a hedge of protection. It can be breached. Job's protection was breached, but he will guard us even in those times. When that hedge is breached, how do you heal the hedge? I think the answer is found in the book of Job. Did you notice what Job did prior to the hedge being broken? He was a devout man, God-fearing man. He worshiped God, but through that ordeal, his trust in God grew. He leaned on God and not on his own understanding. He looked to the future knowing that God would sort things out. In my flesh, he cried, I know I'm going to see God. I will come through this as sparkling gold. He clung to the Lord. Even when it may have felt to him that God had forsaken him, he kept believing. And in a sense, a hedge was healing. He invited the God who protected him to remain close in his life. You've heard the old saying, keep your friends close and the enemies closer. Well, I say, add to that, keep God the closest, and the hedge is going to be healed. Our prayer, our devotion, our humility, our trust, our brokenness, these things invite the healing of the hedge in our lives. They invite the God who said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. The one who said, I will fight for you and stand over you and guard you and watch you. My grace, he said, is sufficient. My love is more than enough. In Proverbs 30, Solomon describes four tiny creatures with tremendous power. One of them is the coney. The coney is technically a rock hyrax, it's thought, sort of a prairie dog in the Mideast. Because of its coloring, it's nearly impossible to see when it's in the rocks. It takes on the color and the camouflage of the rocks. The eagle can't see it. The predators don't know it's there. Venture away from the rocks, its natural habitat, and the coney is easily taken by the enemy. But if it stays close to the rock, it becomes virtually invisible, and it can hide itself. Isn't that what God wants us to know? We have to know where our help comes from. Stay with the rock. Stay with God. Stay hidden in him. You will have his protection. He will guard you. He will keep you. Should we pray for a hedge of protection? I think it's good to. I think it's good to remember where our help comes from. We're taught to lift up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Several times in the book on prayer, I mentioned Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I think this and the rest of the psalm forms a perfect prayer. Lord, save me from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. Cover me with your wings. Under your wings, I will find refuge. Your faithfulness is a fortress. I will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at the right hand, but will not come near me, because you're my protection, you're my refuge. No harm will overtake me, no disaster will come near my home. You're the one that commands your angels. You'll guard me in all my ways. With you, I can tread on the lion and the cobra, the great lion and the serpent. Because I love you, God, you will rescue me. Because I honor your name, you'll protect me. I will call on you. You will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and elevate me. You will satisfy me with long life. You will show me your salvation. Did you notice in that prayer how many times pestilence and plague are mentioned? Reminds me the story of Martin Luther a half millennia ago when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. It invited opposition. The 10 years that followed were rough, such that Luther was sick, depressed, and on his lowest limb. To cap it off, the plague had broken through in Wittenberg. Fear spread, people scattered. But Luther remained, believed it was his duty. His house was turned into a hospital. Luther watched a lot of his friends die. During that time, in that year of sickness, that year of plague, that year of death, Luther wrote a song. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Yes, we have a hedge. It's none other than our great God. As James said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee. And you will find that hedge of protection gathering around you. Why are we talking about this in a week dedicated to building relationships? I believe that one of the chief hesitations we have, this reluctance, this reticence to get involved in the lives of other people, is that we fear making ourselves transparent and vulnerable that we are going to be hurt. I believe you need to love like no one is watching. I believe you need to love like you've never been hurt. Because you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he wraps his loving arms around you, and he whispers in your ear, "It is I, be not afraid." He is the same God that went before the children of Israel by day as a cloud and a fire by night. That means he is going before you. He sees what's ahead. He knows what's behind. He knows what's all around you. You can trust him. You can trust your life to the protecting power of God. So go out, love again, and show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.